All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let us begin. Our daf today is Chav Hei 25. We are picking up on Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So I want to thank our Shir sponsors, to thank Ed and Faith Wolf, who are our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, for dedicating all the Shirim and Drashos in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Bas Velvel, Zichrona Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. To thank our sponsors for this week of learning, Weiss Sport Children, in memory of their grandmother, Shina Chana, Bas Harab Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi, and Jack Bennett, in memory of his grandfather, Rafael Beni Ashvili. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the family in Nechama. And to thank our sponsors for today's daf, Mr. and Mrs. Milton Eleanor Martyr, for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of Mr. Martyr's mother, Hilda Martyr. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. And Abbas, with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, but we're up to the challenge, Amir Tzashem. It's going to be great. So we left off with Rabbi Abba, which is in the intermediate wide lines, four lines in. Rabbi Abba have a kamishtamet minei Rabbi Yehuda davi kavai lemesek laradi Yisra. Mostly we're gonna move today, but Amir Tzashem, we're gonna see incredible Gemara. So Rabbi Abba was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda was very against the move to Eretz Yisrael. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the best way to avoid getting advice that you don't want is avoid the rabbi you don't like. Right? That's the easiest, best. It's been apparently an eitzah that's been employed for generations. So Rabbi Abba doesn't want to hear a psak halacha that he doesn't like, and therefore again he avoids Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Dam Rabbi Yehuda kala olam ibavel Eretz Yisrael over ba'aseh, because Rabbi Yehuda said whoever goes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael is in violation of a positive commandment. What's the positive commandment? Shnei Mar Bavela Yuvu v'shama Yu ad yom pakti osam neum Hashem. Because ultimately, again, the pasuk says, according from Yirmiyah, literally, you will be in Bavel and you shall remain there until the day that I redeem you. So says Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that ultimately, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we don't go back to Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes. There's no concept going back to Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes. We're both saying, we'll see this Gemara really lives in Maseches Ksuvos. We'll see it, we'll say, this Gemara is at the core of the most fundamental machlokes, one of the most fundamental machlokes in contemporary Klal Yisrael today, whether or not there's a din of going back to Eretz Yisrael. Should we make Aliyah, not make Aliyah, but even more fundamentally, the role of the State of Israel in contemporary Judaism as well. Is the State of Israel a good thing? State of Israel not a good thing, right? Is the State of Israel ultimately the beginning of Messianic redemption? Not beginning. So much of this is wrapped up in this idea of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, but nevertheless, so Rabbi Abba is going to Eretz Yisrael, but he's avoining Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Ezel v'eshma minei milsa mibeis vada, v'hadar apik. He said, you know what? But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen outside of the Beis Medrash, pick up one last shir before I head off to Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? Azal Ashkechil Tana Diktani Kamid Rabbi Yehuda. So he heard that the Tana who was teaching before Rabbi Yehuda was giving over the following idea. Haya Omid Betfila Benes Atish. If a person was davening Shmona Esrei and he flatulated, he passed gas. So what's the halacha? Mantin Achi Chala Haruach Bechozer Mispalo. You wait until the odor passes and then you continue to daven. So a person can't daven Shmona Esrei in the midst when there's a offensive odor. So you wait until the odor passes. Others say that here's the halacha. If a person was davening Shmona Esrei and had to flatulate, what's the halacha? Marchik la'achor of dalat amos umisatish. Shabbos is actually a dramatic halacha. He's in the middle of Shmona Esrei, so a person feels that they can't stop themselves. So what do you do? You go ahead and you distance yourself dalat amos from where you are davening. Then again, flatulate. Umamtinat shi'chala ruach. Wait until the odor passes. Bechozer umispalo. And then you go back and you daven. Va'omer, and there's another supplicatory prayer that one adds in over here, and they say, Ribono shel Olam, Yetzatanu nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have created us with various openings and orifices. Galui v'yadu lefanecha, cherpasinu klimasenu. You know our degradation and our humiliation. Bechayenu, and this is during our lifetime. Uba'achrisinu, and after, right, and when we die, Rima vitolea, we become simply earth and worms. Shabbos says, so the idea being that the inability to control one's bodily functions, just for the couple of minutes that I'm davening Shmona Esrei, is one of the greatest manifestations and expressions of human fragility and frailty. You're like, I can't keep it together for just a couple of minutes of Shmona Esrei. So I express that in this tefillah, and then what happens? Then I say the assumption is you walk back Talad Amis to where you're davening Shmona Esrei, and you begin and you continue where you left off. So Rabbi Abba said, had I just come to the base medrash to hear this halacha, it would have been. Rabbi say, just amazingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch actually codifies this halacha. But however, the Shulchan Aruch says this only applies where? If you're davening biyichidus. If you're davening in shul, so obviously Rabbi say, backing up Dalet Amos from where you're standing is very nice for you, right? But may create issues for others. So therefore, again, the Shulchan Aruch actually codifies this lahalacha, but says this only applies when you're davening biyichidus, does not apply when you are davening in shul. Tan Rabbanan, Hayayashay Matali, so in Yachal Hotzias Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi say, interesting case. I'm sleeping in my talis. Rabbi say, again, remember, we keep saying, talis doesn't mean talis like you and I think about it today. Talis means a cloak. I'm sleeping in it. I'm under a cover. I'm under a cover. Now, both saying, the assumption is a person is sleeping unclothed. Then Yachal Hotzias Rosh Hashanah, it's very cold. And therefore, again, my entire unclothed body is underneath the cover, and I can't stick my head out because it's too cold. So Rabbi say, no problem, what do? You stick your head out of your cover, essentially wrap the cover around your neck, and you could say Shema, because this way the cover is covering the rest of your unclothed body. Others say, no, it's not enough to wrap the cover around your neck, you actually have to wrap the cover around your heart. By your heart. Rabbi say, what's at play over here? So as we're going to see what this comes to, well, let's see. The Gemara of Tanakamo, Hari Liboro Aserva. So Rabbi say, I understand the second opinion. The second opinion that says you wrap the cover around your heart, which Rabbi say essentially really means that you wrap the cover really right below your heart. That's the idea being over here. The idea is you're making a distinction between your heart and the erva and your nakedness. So the cover represents that distinction between the two. That distinction between the two. So I understand the second opinion, but according to the first opinion, that you're wrapping the cover around your neck, right? Ultimately, libo roa es ha'erva, kasar libo roa es ha'erva mutar. He also said that there's no problem. Tanakama holds, it's okay if the heart sees the erva as long as the head doesn't see the erva. Also, the Gemara says, So we're going to come back to that discussion in a little bit. If a person was walking, literally translated, in unclean alleys. Now, what this generally means is you're walking in a place where there's a very offensive odor. So what do? You put your hand on your mouth and you recite Shema. So it's actually very interesting. See, the idea is, it's almost like you're protecting the words, so to speak, from the negative odor. Right, that's you put your hand on your mouth and you recite Shema. So the Gemara says, good. I'm Rav Chista, Ha'elokim. So Rav Chista says, what? Ha'elokim, loosely translated, it loosely translates as what? Right, so the Gemara, Ha'elokim, by God. Im Amrali Rav Yochanan Bepumei Lo Tzaisini. Had Rav Yochanan told me this with his own mouth, I wouldn't have believed him. So, saying this alternate version, it's not Rabbi Yochanan who's saying it, rather, it's Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi who's saying it. If you walk in a place that's unclean, you put your hand over your mouth and you recite Shema like that. Rav Chista says, by God, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said this to me himself, I would not have listened to him. Did Rabbi Huna really say this? In other words, Rabbi said, did Rabbi Huna really say that if you're walking in an unclean place, putting your hand over your mouth is enough to be able to recite the words of Shema in a place that's unclean? Rabbi said, listen to this. Rabbi Huna says that Tam Tchacham is not allowed to stand in an unclean place. Why? Because it's impossible for him not to think about words of Torah, and therefore, again, he'll end up thinking about words of Torah in an unclean place. So we'll say, first of all, how incredible is this? You see, what's the definition of a Talmid Chacham? Right? Someone who can't stop thinking about Torah. We'll say, what a problem to have, right? What a problem to have. My greatest challenge is I can't stop thinking about... So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? You see from here that you can't go ahead and cogitate or even say words in an unclean place. Lokashe kan ba'omid kama mahalich. We'll say two different cases. That's a case, Rav Huna is talking about over here, that you can't stand in a place that's unclean and speak words of Torah. Here, remember again, the case is a person is walking through. So if you're passing through, it's enough just to cover your mouth and to recite the words of Shema. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Achi, but Rabbi Yochanan really says, you're permitted to think words of Torah in all places except for the bathhouse and the bathroom. So maybe you'll say, so again, it would appear, why can't you think Torah in these places? Ultimately, again, because there's the negative odor. So therefore, again, how could a person recite Shema when walking through the unclean alleyways? To which the Gemara says, maybe the distinction is, if you're standing versus walking. If you're standing, that's when it's problematic. But if you're just passing through, maybe that's okay. Ini, is that so? Let's listen to this. Rabbi Avo was once walking behind Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was saying Shema. And when Rabbi Yochanan got to the unclean alleyways, Rabbi Yochanan stopped saying Shema. So he said to Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan said to him, So where should I go back to? If you waited long enough to be able to recite the entire Shema, you go back to the beginning. So the Gemara says, so you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan holds an halacha l'maisa, you can't go ahead and recite Shema in unclean places. To which the Gemara says, halachi kamarle, lidi di lo sirle. This is what he was saying. For me, I don't hold it this way. I hold that if you're just passing through, you can recite Shema even in unclean places. Lidi dach di sirle. But according to you, it says that you can't. Im shahisek de ligmaras kula choz l'rosh. Halacha l'maisa, if you pause long enough to recite the entire Shema, you have to go back to the beginning. Tanya kavasi di rafuna. Tanya kavasi di rafchista. So we'll see two different brises. Once the Rav Huna, once the Rav Chista. Tanya kavasi di rafuna. Hamahalich b'muvav sametuna. Fosma diach yado ape v'ikra kriyashma. So we'll say that's brises of our Rav Huna, that if you walk through an unclean alleyway, you put your hand over your mouth and you can recite Shema. Tanya kavasi di rafchista. So Rabbi say this price of Rav Chista, that if you're walking through an unclean alleyway, then what? You should not recite Shema. Not only that, if you were walking and saying Shema and you got to an unclean alleyway, what do you do? Stop. Stop your Shema. What happens if you didn't stop? What's your status? So we'll say all these psukim indicate that he has degraded the words of Shema ultimately by reciting them in an unclean place. And if you stopped, then halacha lemaisa, then what is your reward? So remember again, if you stop, when you get to an unclean place, what's your schar? Longevity. So Rabbi says, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin ultimately is like Rav Chista, namely that if you're walking in an unclean place, you do not say Shema. And even if you are saying Shema, you stop. That's how you paskin. So you walk into an unclean alleyway, you stop saying Shema. People say, it's interesting. What does it mean that the reward of stopping to say Shema is longevity? It's interesting, right? So I'm saying Shema. I'm walking, I'm saying Shema. I get to an unclean alleyway, I stop. So now the Gemara says, oh, ubedavar hazet harichu yom. The bracha is longevity. People say, the idea is that when a person stops saying Shema, when they get to the unclean alleyway, what they are showing is an incredible regard and respect for the mitzvos, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for Torah. So you see, a lot of times what ends up happening with our Torah and with our Yiddishkeit is we relegate it to a series of behavioral acts and obligations. So these are things I have to do. There's not always so much kedusha associated with it. There's not so much meaning associated with it. So I'll just do it. I'll do what I have to do to get by. So a person who actively stops reciting Shema when they get to an unclean alley or doesn't say it, indicates that what I'm doing is a davar shebekdusha. It's holy. It's meaningful. It's impactful. Like we just saw Mesilas Yesharim. I'm doing this as in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can't do this here because this is disrespectful to the act that I'm doing. Someone who has such respect ultimately for their avodas Hashem is blessed with arichos yamim. Whether it means actual longevity right, prolonging of days, or whether it means an amplification of the meaning of those days. That's the bracha, when you not only practice your Yiddishkeit, but you live it with a sense of dignity, you live it with a sense of respect and reverence. If a person's cloak was wrapped around his hips, you could say Shema. Now the chap over here is, Even though the person is bare-chested in this case, right? Even though his chest is uncovered, because ultimately, again, the erva is covered, he could recite Shema. Tanya Amiyachar, right, so that supports this. Heisa taliso shal beged v'shal or v'shal sak chagura masnov. If a person had a cloak made of any material that was wrapped around his waist, muto likros kriya Shema, you're permitted to recite Shema. Top of chaf hei, aval l'tfila ad shichasas li. Rabbo said this is a fascinating distinction. So for kriya Shema, as long as the erva is covered, you are permitted to go ahead and recite Shema. Tefillah requires something different. Tefillah requires that not only is the erva covered, but ultimately, again, right, you must be wearing a shirt as well. Rashi says, "Leval tefillah tzaruchu laharos es asmo keomer lifnei hamelech velaamod be'ema aval kriyas shema inam adar lifnei hamelech." So we'll say. So this, in general, by the way, is part. We'll see this tomorrow. Meretz Hashem, we start the fourth parak of brachos. So we'll see this much more in the fourth parak. So I will say, when you daven, you have to dress a certain way for davening. So you'll say, how should I dress? So I will say, it's very simple. The way you dress for davening is the way you would dress to go before a king. If you had an important meeting with someone, right, a high-ranking official, what would you wear? Whatever you would wear and however you would present yourself, that's how you come to davening. So granted, people might dress in different ways, but one thing is clear, I will say, it's not less than business casual. That's for sure. That's for sure. And this is something that sometimes we take too many shortcuts with. Rabbi say, you know, we are very impacted by the way we dress. If you come looking like a shlemiel or a shlemazel to davening, like people want to give you tzedakah, like if that's the way you come, then at the end of the day, there's something fundamentally wrong with the way you're coming to davening. A person has to come ka'omei lifnei hamelech. Again, it doesn't require, the person has to be ultra, but a bakavadik outfit, the way one would go to a dignified individual. So the idea over here is, this is quite fascinating. So for Shema, it's enough if you cover the erva. For tefillah, for Shemona Esrei, a person has to be dressed appropriately. Aval tefillah ad sheichases libo. Bar Rav Huna, shachach v'nichnas b'tefillin lebeis hakisi. It was a fascinating case. Let's say someone goes ahead and forgot they went into the bathroom with their tefillin on. Then I will say, now the case over here is not only did they go into the bathroom, but they started relieving themselves. Maniach yado alehen ad sheigmor. You put your hand on the top of your tefillin until you finish relieving yourself. Really? Up until you finish relieving yourself? Meaning you can stay in the bathroom until you finish whatever you have to do. So essentially, again, until it's actually talking about in the case of defecation, until you finish initially relieving yourself, right? And then again, essentially until you could stop and then go ahead, go out, take out your tefillin, and then you could go back in and finish up whatever you have to. Sigmar says, I velifsok la'altar velekum. Why don't you just stop right now? Or just stop right now and come back out of the bathroom. Mishud Reb Shimon Gamliel. The same Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. Amut ha'chozer maybe es ha'adon li'dei hidarkun. Silin ha'chozer maybe es ha'adon li'dei yarkun. Because we'll say, actually very interesting that, again, you see this in a couple of times, that Chazal felt that this is reflecting their understanding of the human body of the time, that if a person has to urinate and they begin and then, I don't know what the right term is, but we'll call it, pull the flow back in, that's actually physically harmful. A person begins to defecate and pulls the waste back in somehow, that's physically harmful. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, because of that, even if a person is relieving themselves and they realize they're wearing their tefillin while they're relieving themselves, we allow them essentially to go ahead and finish, we'll call whatever they're in the middle of right now, to a point that they could pause, then go out of the bathroom, go ahead and take off the tefillin, and then go back in to finish their bodily needs. Itmar, tsoa al besaro o yado munachas veisakisa. It was an interesting case. What happens if a person has, somebody was asking me this case on, I think Joshua was talking about this case on Sunday. Tsoa al besaro. So let's say a person has excrement on his skin, on his flesh. O yado munachas veisakisa. Or we'll say his hand extends into the bathroom. Now, both said, now, what's the common denominator of both of these cases? There's no odor. In these cases, we're presupposing that there's not an odor. But here I have there's waste on the person's flesh, so there is waste that's there. Or again, my hand is in an unclean airspace, right? My hand is in an unclean place. So what's the impact of davening in these situations? Rav Huna Amar Mutar L'Kras Kriyat Shema. Rav Huna says that the halacha is one is permitted to recite Shema. One is permitted to recite Shema. Rav Chista Amar Asa L'Kras Kriyat Shema. Rav Chista says no, you can't. So we'll say, watch this. Amar Rava, my time with Rav Huna. Why does Rav Huna say that you can say Shema? Tichsev Kal and Hashama Tahalocha. Let's listen to this. Rav Huna will say that I will say when reciting Shema, the issue is called Haneshama. All you need are the elements of your neshama to be in a state of tara, and then you're good to go. Rav say what's included in Kol Haneshama? Rashi says Pe Chotem, right? Your mouth and your nose. So as long as your mouth and your nose are quote unquote clean, then halacha lemaisa you can recite Shema. So even if there's some waste on the body or the hand is in the base akisi, it doesn't matter. Rav Chista Amar Asal Kros Kriyat Shema. My time, Rav Chista Dichsev. It's so beautiful. Rav Chista says, no, Shema, Tefillah is a full body experience. Because it's a full body experience, therefore what? If the entire body is not in a state of cleanliness, ultimately, again, you cannot recite Shema. A very dramatic Rabosai. Now, just so you should know, by Shema, we paskin like Rav Huna, but by Tefillah, we would paskin like Rav Chista. So you begin to see this Shema Shmona Esrei distinction, right? Shema essentially requires, because Shema is not a dialogue with God, but is an acceptance of the yoke of heaven, which is incredibly important. Therefore, the criteria for a proper state of being by Shema is less. The erva has to be covered, but I could be bare chest. Right, there could be tzoa, there could be waste on the skin, as long as there's no odor. Right, my hand could be in the bathroom, as long as there's no odor. But by tefillah, since it's a din of omid lifnei hamelech, I'm standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a dialogical connection. Therefore, again, the criteria are much higher. Incredible. Itmar reach rashi shleiker. Both says now comes the interesting sugya. Reach rashi shleiker, which literally means a bad odor that has a source. So we'll say what this means is that there is a bad odor, and it's clear where the odor is coming from. In other words, the odor is rooted in something physical and tangible. So what's the halacha? Rav Huna Amar, we'll say first wide line, Chavchem and Aleph. Rav Huna Amar, Marchik Dalai Lama Sakari Kriyashma. So Rav Huna says, no problem. You distance yourself, Dalai Lama, from the item, and you could recite Shema. Rav Chista, that was Rav Huna. Rav Chista Amar, Marchik Dalai Lama Mimokom Shapasa Karech Vakari Kriyashma. So Rav Chista comes along and says, no. You can't just distance yourself, Dalai Amas, from the waste, from the item, but rather what? You distance yourself, Dalai Amas, from the place where the smell no longer exists. So, say, so I move myself away from the smell, and wherever the smell ends, that's ultimately, again, yeah. So for us, it would probably be like Darche, right? You know, that would be like right from the right. So I'll say, so you know, that would be four Amas from where the smell is here. Right? So the idea being that you go ahead and from where the smell ends, you go ahead and distance yourself, Dalet Amas. So both say the Gemara says the Kriy Kriyashma. Tanya Kavasei Dirav Chista. So both says the Rice that's the words of Chista. Lo Yikra Adam Kriyashma Lo Kineget Zuas Adav Lo Kineget Zuas Kalafim. Person should not recite Shema. So both say opposite any kind of waste, human waste, animal waste. Kineget Zuas Chazirim. Velo Kineget Zuas Tanagolim. Velo Kineget Zuas Ashpa Sherechara. So both say this is human waste, animal waste in a garbage dump. Vim Haya Makam Kavoas Sartvachim. But however, again, if Halacha Lemaisa. If the waste was in a place, a separate reshus, I will say, essentially, again, higher or lower by 10 tefachim, yoshe bitzido v'kori kriyashma. You could sit by the side of the waste and you could recite Shema. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting halacha, that somehow, if the waste is in a different reshus, then ultimately, again, these halachos are somewhat obviated. Ve'im lav, marchik melo enov. And if not, Rabbi Osai, you have to distance yourself from the waste out of ocular range, right? This is something new now, that I shouldn't be able to see the waste. B'chein l'tfilah, and ultimately for Shmona Esrei as well. Reach Rashi yesh lo ikar. We'll say, so what happens again? So this was opposite waste itself. Reach Rashi yesh lo ikar. We'll say, what happens again if there's an odor, right? And the odor is rooted in something tangible. Marchik dalad amos mimakom hareach v'kori kriyasha. Suppose you remember again, case number one was an issue of where there's waste, even if there's no odor. Right? I should have clarified this. That's where there's waste, but there's no odor. So even if there's no odor, a person has to separate themselves from the waste. from the waste. What happens if there's not only waste, but there's odor? So the Bryce over here says, you distance yourself from the odor, right? And where the odor stops, you distance yourself another Dalet Amos, and that's where you are permitted to recite Kriyashma. So we'll say, so this is the Braisa that reflects Rav Chista's view. Sahalocha l'maisa, when you're dealing just with waste, without an odor, you have to distance yourself from ocular range. Unless, of course, the waste itself is in a different rishus, then you're okay. You could even daven right next to the waste. If there's an odor, you distance yourself dalet amas from the place where the smell ends. Amar Rabba, lesel chasa kiamas nisa. So if it says the halacha doesn't follow this Mishnah, Ela kiha. Right? The Mishnah follows the following halacha. This sanyo. Lo yikri adam kriyashma, lo kinegetsuas adam, lo kinegetsuas chazirim, lo kinegetsuas kalavim, bizman shenasan oros lesochan. So what says interesting qualification. So the Gemara says over here, when is waste a problem? Waste is a problem only when human waste or animal waste, when you put skins, hides into it for tanning purposes. So we'll say, so apparently excrement was a major ingredient in the tanning of hides. Tanneries smell terrible. So again, I don't know if that's rooted in waste. I think it's rooted in the tanning process. But in any event, the Gemara says that really excrement only becomes exceptionally potent for these particular issues when it's used for tanning. So the truth is, we'll say the Shulchan Aruch codifies already the first halach, even without tanning. He's just adding on that if the excrement in question is being used for tanning purposes, the smell becomes even more noxious. We'll say, what about a bad odor that is not rooted in something tangible? So we'll say, what does that mean? Rashi says, hafachas ruach, flatulence. Right, so we'll say flatulence is an example of where there is a bad odor, but it's not rooted in something physical, right? As opposed to odor that comes from waste, right? Where there could be waste on the ground and the odor comes from that. What about ruach rasha ein lo ikar? What's the status of that? What's the impact of that ultimately, again, on tefillah or on shema? So the Gemara says, Amar lehu, asu chazu hanitzifi de beirav. So Israel says, it's actually very interesting. So Rav Shesha said, I'll give you the answer, right? Go ahead and look at Tzifi Debei Rav. If you look at Rashi Tzifi, Machatzola Shal Beis HaMedrash. Ultimately, again, the mats in the Beis Medrash. What does this refer to? So the Gemara says, Dahani Ganu Vahani Grisi. So this is very interesting. So apparently in the Beis Medrash, you used to have like mats. And when the Talmidei Chachamim would get tired, they would take a nap instead of leaving the Beis Medrash. They would take a nap in the Beis Medrash. So sometimes, again, when people go ahead and take a nap, they could pass gas inadvertently. So we'll say in the Beis Medrash, you would have a little bit of an odor. So the Gemara says, but yet again, the learning still goes on. They don't stop the learning because of the odor. Bahani mili b'divrei Torah. But this is only true when it comes to Torah. But kriyashma lo. When it comes to kriyashma, even a reach she'in lo ikar, right? Even if there's a smell that is not rooted in something tangible, you still can't say shema in its presence. But divrei Torah namilo amar ela dechavrei. Furthermore, Torah, you can only learn even if there's an odor, if that's coming from someone else. Aval didei, but if the person himself generated the odor, he passed gas, then lo. Then halacha lemaisa, you must wait until the odor dissipates, and then you could continue your learning. Itmar, tsawa overa. So what's another interesting case? What happens if there's waste passing through? We'll say, now, what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, he says, tsawa overa, adam shenose lefanav graf sharei labira. So we'll say, let's say again, I'm standing saying Shema, and a person is walking with a bedpan past me. So the question, Shaila, is, what's the impact of when that waste passes by me? What's that impact on my ability to say Shema? So Abai Amar Mutar Likros Kriyashma. Abai, he says, if with passing waste, you can recite Shema. Rava Amar Asar Likros Kriyashma. Rava says, no, you can't. Amar Abai, Mina Amin Rabai says, from where do I know that you can say Shema Disnan? But it's actually quite interesting. Hatame Omitachas. Rava says, this is talking about, Rashi points out, not Tumas Meis, but ultimately, again, Tumas Tsaras. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you are in the same home with a Metzora, so the Metzora under the same roof, a Metzora has the ability to go ahead and convey Tumah to someone else, which is actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says, listen to this. If the Metzora was standing underneath the tree, Vatar over, and let's say the Metzora is standing under the tree, I'm a taller person, I'm passing through underneath the tree, what's the halacha? Tameh. I am Tameh by dint of the fact that I stood under the same tree with the Metzorah. However, Tar, Omitachas, Ilan, Vetame, Over Tar. But if I'm standing under the tree, I'm the stationary one, and the Tame one is walking through, I remain Tahar. Why? Because what do you see from here? You see from here that things that pass through do not affect change in circumstances. It is only when something is stationary. Based on this, the Gemara wants to suggest that what? That halacha lemaisa, when I go ahead and when somebody takes a bedpan, let's say passing by me, it does not impact my ability to recite Shema. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Lecha, Hasam Mikviusa Tamusa. It's not a good comparison. By Tsara'as Rabosai, it's a din in Kviyas. It's a din in what is stationary and established. Dichsiv, Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Moshavo. So I'll say the Pasuk indicates that the Moshav, the domicile of the Metzorah, is what conveys Tumah. Therefore, you know, what's the definition of a domicile? Any place where the Metzorah positions himself in a stationary fashion becomes his domicile. That's why he conveys Tumah. Hacha, V'hayom Machanecha Kadosh. When it comes to Kriyashma, the idea is Vayam, your camp must be holy. So Rabbi said the idea could be that even if excrement is passing by, that is enough ultimately, again, of an erosion of the standards of holiness in my environment to prevent me from saying Shema V'halakha. Good. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, the way we paskin is that even saw overus is problematic. So if somebody's walking by me with a bedpan and I'm saying Shema, the halacha is I must stop. So we'll say, you begin to see, this is the ongoing halacha. I'm saying Shema and I get to an unclean alleyway, stop. Pass, right? So excrement is passing by, stop. Wherever there is something that ultimately, again, creates an inappropriate environment for the recitation of Shema, stop where you are. When it passes, you could continue. Amra Papa, Pi Chazir Kitzua Overus. We'll say the mouth of a chazir, of a pig, is just like a case of moving excrement. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Votzricha Afagav the Salak Minara. This is true even if the chazir came out of the river. So because we'll say the idea of a chazir, chazirim eat all kinds of things. So because of that, again, its mouth has like the status essentially of like a bedpan. Right? So therefore, again, I would have thought if it comes out of the river, maybe in that moment it's clean. Kamash Malon, no. So the Gemara says, goes on, Amrabi Ahuda, Safik Tzas Asura. So let's listen to this. Let's say there's a smell, there's some type of smell, and the smell might be from excrement, right? But I'm not sure. So what's the halacha? Asura. The halacha is you can't say Shema under those circumstances. Safek mi raglayim mutar. But if there's a safek about urine, ultimately, again, you could recite Shema. Ika da'ami, Amrav Yehuda, Safek tzobis babayis muteres. Others wrote that the alternate version is, if there's a safek tzob, a safek of human waste in the home, ultimately, again, it's mutar. Ba'ashpa asura. But if there's a safek, these cases are, there's a smell, and I don't know exactly where the smell is coming from. In the ashpa, in the garbage dump, however, it is asura. Because in the garbage dump, ultimately, again, you both say garbage dumps also doubled as public bathrooms. So therefore, again, you could assume that that is actually human waste. Safek mi raglaim. What happens if you have a safek regarding urine? What's the halacha? Afilu ba'ashpa nami mutarin. Even if it's in the garbage dump, ultimately, again, it is still mutar. So you begin to see that urine doesn't have such a dramatic impact on my ability to recite Shema. Savrla kiyad Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna la'asra Torah ela kineget amud bilbat. So see, that's very interesting. Rav Hamnuna says it's quite fascinating. The only time urine is problematic is literally if you're in the presence of someone urinating. That's what we'll say. That's the lashon over here. Kineget amud means the stream. Only literally, again, if I'm in the presence of someone actively urinating, is that pose a problem for Shema. But urine itself may not pose a problem for Shema. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonason contrasted Pesuk on one hand, it says, So the Pasuk says, you shall have a place, right? Talking about the army, you shall have a place outside of your camp in which you should go ahead and go through, relieve yourself, and have a shovel there. Uksiv, the other pasuk says you shall have a shovel and you shall cover up your waist. So the first pasuk seems to indicate that although you should go out of the camp to relieve yourself, you don't have to cover up your waist. The second pasuk indicates to us what? You have to go out of the camp and what? Cover up your waist. So which one is it? Do I have to cover up my waist or not cover up my waist? Which the Gemara says, Hakeitzad, Kan Bigdolim, Kan Bigtanim. One is talking about excrement, one is talking about urine. Excrement, you have to cover up your waist. Urine, you do not have to cover up your waist. Alma kitanam lo asra Torah ela kineget amud bilbad. So I say, therefore, you see from here, urine is only problematic vis-a-vis Shema. Ultimately, again, when you're standing opposite someone who's actively urinating, the stream of urine, ha nafula arashara. But if there's urine on the ground, it does not pose a problem. V'rabbanon hu degazru b'hu. The Rabbanon were gozer regarding urine on the ground. V'chigazru Rabbanon bevadon. So we'll say the Rabbanon said, no, you can't say urine. You can't say kriyashma by urine that's on the ground. But even they were only gozer when only they decreed bevadon. When it's the case of vada urine, aval b'sveikon lo gazru. But ultimately by a suffic urine, ultimately, again, they were not gozer. Or bevadon ad kama. And I will say, how long is urine problematic for? In other words, I will say, obviously, a person urinates on the ground at a certain point in time is going to get absorbed. So how long does a person have to worry about saying Shema in the presence of the urine? Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kozman shemat pichin. As long as the urine is moist. So as long as it's wet, as long as it's moist, that's when it's problematic. V'chin amr rabbi acharon b'yochanan, kozman shemat pichin. As long as the urine is moist, it's problematic. V'chin amr ula, kozman shemat pichin, gniva mishmei dim rav amr, kozman sherishuma nikar. So we'll say, gniva says even a little bit further. As long as the urine is recognizable on the ground, rishuma nikar means their mark is recognizable. Shabbos says, sounds like, even if it's not wet anymore, but what? You could tell that someone urinated over here. That's also problematic. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Shara, this is incredible. Shara le mare le gniva. So God should forgive gniva for issuing such an erroneous ruling. Hashta tzor Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Rav, kevan shekarmu panea mutar. Meir raglaimi, right? So when it comes to excrement itself, what's the halacha? As soon as the excrement becomes hardened on the outside, it loses its identity as excrement. You could recite Shema in its presence. So we'll say, certainly what? We'll say, the concept of Shema Nikar, certainly urine, when it's absorbed, it's no longer wet, it's no longer there, it's only recognizable. Somehow, again, the area where you urinate is recognizable is not going to be a problem. Whereas we'll say, if by excrement itself, which is still extant, once it goes ahead and essentially dries up, it's no longer excrement, even though, again, physically there's something there. So urine all the more so if there's no actual wet liquid there. And all there is something recognizable that this is where a person urinated. Of course it won't be problematic. Why are you relying on this halacha? Rely on this halacha. In this alternate version, Rav said that if you have excrement, even if it is dried up like cheras, like earthenware, it is still problematic. So we'll say, what's the case ultimately again where it's dried up like cheras? If you were to throw the excrement and it wouldn't crumble. So we'll say, what's the idea over here? The idea over here is that it still retains some level of moisture. As long as it retains some level of moisture, it has an identity ultimately again of Soa, and therefore you cannot say Shema in its presence. Others say that if you were to manipulate it and it would not go ahead and crumble, it still retains some level of moisture, therefore still retains its identity. So we'll say one time, Ravina says, I was standing before Rabbi Yehuda, and there was excrement there where we were going to daven. So Rabbi Yehuda said to me, Ayin, go examine it. E karmu paneha ilo. Did it harden on the outside or not? So we'll say apparently again. So the litmus test over here was if it hardened, it no longer had the status of excrement. But if it didn't harden, it would. So the Gemara says, "Ika da amri haki amalei ayin e mifloi afluye." See, others will say have an alternate version of this. See if it formed cracks. If it formed cracks, then ultimately, again, it has lost its identity as Tsoa. But see, you have to understand, I know these things sound very strange to us, but remember, in the days before indoor plumbing, right, where people encountered a lot more waste just outside in a day-to-day life. So, again, these halachas are very important for knowing where could I daven, where can't I daven. My havi Allah, what's the halacha? Itmar Tsoa kecheres. If the Tsoa becomes like hardened, like earthenware, amemar amar asura umar zutra amar muteres. Remember, says, it's still Tsoa, therefore asur. Mazutra says Mutra. Amar Rava, Hilchasa Tzoa Kecheres Asura. So the halacha is that if the Tzora, even though it's hardened like Cheres, because it hasn't totally dried up, therefore again it has the status of excrement and you can't say Shema in its presence. Umeiraglayim, when it comes to urine, Kolzman Shemat Pichin. The halacha is when it comes to urine, both say as long as the urine is moist, then halacha lemaisa, it is problematic. But if it's dried up, and even if you could see, Rishuma Nikar, you could see where the urination took place, Halacha lemaisa, that's not problematic. Meisvei, mei raglayim shekozman shemat biyichin asurin. So when it comes to urine, as long as it's moist, it's asur. Nivlu ayavshu mutarin. But if it absorbed or dried up, it's mutar. My love, nivlu domi diyavshu. My yavshu de'in rishuman nikar. Af nivlu de'in rishuman nikar. Harishuman nikar asur. So we'll say the inference from here is, that's only true if it totally dried up in a way that it's no longer discernible. But if it dried up in a way where you could still see, I guess like the outline of where the stream was or how it hit the ground, it would still be problematic. To which the avagav de'mapichin ulatameich, but using your logic, u'emareisha kozma shematpichin huda aser harishumanik or shari ella laha meha lekan lemashuner. But from here, there is nothing conclusive. Lema ketanoi. So we'll say it could be that this matter regarding urine is in fact the subject of malchokes tanoim. Kli shenishpechu mimenu meiraglaim aser likros kriyashma. Connect though. We'll say if you have a kli, right, and urine fell out of that kli, you are not permitted to recite Kriyat Shema in that area. Umei raglayim atman shenishpechu, nivlu mutar, lo nivlu aser. If you have urine that spilled on the ground, if the urine was absorbed into the ground, you could daven there. But if not, you can't daven there. Rabbi Yossi says, kozman shemat pichin, as long as the urine is moist, wet, you can't daven there. My nivlu, my lo nivlu. But what does it mean it was absorbed, wasn't absorbed? Tanakh to the Gemara says, v'yem b'tikam tanakama, ilema nivlu demat pichin, lo nivlu demat pichin. If you want to say it means that it was absorbed and not wet, va'asar Rabbi Yossi lemeimer, kozman shemat pichin, hu da'asar. And Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, as long as it's wet, it's asar. Harishuma nikar shari. I would say if it's no longer wet, even if the area where you're urinated is recognizable, it's permitted. Hainu tanakama. That's the same din as a tanakama. Ella nivlu de'in rishuma nikar. Rather, absorbed means it's no longer recognizable. Lo nivlu de rishuma nikar. Vas Rabbi Yossi the Meimer kozman shematichun huda aser harishuma nikar shari. Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, then no, urine is only problematic when it's wet. But if its space is recognizable, it's not a problem. So the Gemara said, "Lo, the choli amakos v'ashmatichun huda aser harishumanik or shari." Another way to say that halacha is, urine is only problematic when it is wet. If it's dried up, even if the space where you urinated is recognizable, that is not a problem. Amad beis v'halacha b'tafeach amanas lat piach ikam b'nei. We'll say here the issue is, that what does it have to be? How wet is wet? Does it have to be wet enough that it could convey moisture to something else or not? Rabbi say that is the point of contention. So Rabbi say, so bottom line, everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, if there's no longer any moist urine there, right, it's all dried up, it is no longer problematic. Right? In order for urine to be problematic, it has to go ahead and be wet. The shaila is, how wet? Wet enough that there's moisture that's recognizable, but can't convey to wetness to something else, or wet enough that it could even make something else wet. That's the point of contention. Yarad lit balim yachal lalos. So remembering, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, if you went into the mikvah, Bosse is going back to our carry days, right? The Baal carry. So we'll say, so if you went into the mikvah to be told for your carry, and then what happens? If there's enough time to go into the mikvah, get out, dry yourself off, all before sunrise, you should do so. So we'll say, sounds like our Mishnah is aligning itself with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the zman for Kriyat Shema is only until sunrise. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tim Rabbi Yoshua, v'dilmo kivasikin, v'dilmo Rabbi Yochanan, v'sikin hayu gomrim osa v'neitzachama. So we'll say, maybe not. No, our Mishnah recognizes the fact that there was the zman for Kriyat Shema really up until 3 hours into the day. But there is the concept of Vasikin, and when did the Vasikin people say Kriyat Shema until? They would say Kriyat Shema up ultimately until sunrise. So if you were saying Kriyat Shema ki Vasikin, then halacha lemaisa, if there was enough time to go into the mikvah, get out, dry yourself off, fine. If not, what would you do? This goes to the next part of the Mishnah, Ve'im Lav, Yiskaseh Mayim V'yikra. The Mishnah said, if not, cover yourself in water. Cover your body in the water, and ultimately, again, you could go ahead and say Kriyat Shema like that. I vahari libo ra'as ha'erva. But what's going to say? The assumption is you're going to go into the water up until your neck, right, and then go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema like that. But how does that work? Your heart. Supposed to, this was the beginning of today's daf, right? Your heart is still going to see the erva because both the heart and the erva are underneath the water together. It's nice that the head is separated from the rest of the body, but lamaisa, the heart still sees the erva. Amar b'lozer v'tim rabacha bar abba mishur rav abba. Sorry, Ravacha bar Abba bar Acha Mishum Rabenu v'mayim achurim shom. We'll say, what's the case? The case is murky water. So we'll say, so murky water, therefore, again, prevents the heart from seeing the erva as well. The damu ke'arus michta. That's like thick earth. Shelo yira erva liba erva. So we'll say, what's the case? And we'll say again, what's murky water? We'll say, remember again, you're immersing in a mikvah, ultimately again, in a pool of water with a dirt bottom. So what do? You move your foot around, right? The dirt, you cloud up the water, and therefore again, the water essentially serves, we'll say, as clothing. And because ultimately the water is now murky, therefore the heart does not see the erva. Tan Rabbanan, Mayin Slulin. We'll say, if you have clear water, Yashav Bahin Atzavara V'Korei. So we'll say, if you're sitting in clear water, the halacha is you can sit in the clear water up until your neck, and you can recite Shema. The Yesh Omrim, others say, Ochran Beraglo. What you should really do is move your foot along the bottom of the body of water, kick up the dirt, right? Make the water cloudy, and that way, again, your heart does not see the erva. I, the Tanakama, Hare Libo Roas Erva. But according to the Tanakama, how does he allow you to sit in a body of clear water? After all, the heart could see the erva. Kasavar Libo Roas Erva. Ultimately, again, he holds that ultimately when your heart sees the erva, it's mutter. He holds it's not a problem. Not a problem. Bahari akeva roas erva. I will say, what about the fact that literally, again, the heel sees the erva? So, what this means is that the bottom part of the body ultimately, again, is directly sees the erva. This is assuming that other parts of the body seeing the erva is problematic. To which the Gemara says, kasavar akeva roas erva mutter. He holds that ultimately, again, your heel seeing the erva ultimately is mutter. Say itmar akeva roas erva mutter. So I'll say if your heel sees the erva, it's not problematic. No gea. What happens halach lamaisa if your heel touches the erva? So we'll say, let's say again a person goes to the mikvah, and as they're going into the water, let's say they squat down. So let's say again the foot is, let's say maybe is touching the erva. What's that look in that case? Abai amar aser. Abai says it's problematic. Rava amar mutter. Rava says it's okay. Rav Zavid masni lahashmai tahi. If your foot is touching the erva, everyone will agree that that's problematic for Shema. Roa, what happens if the heel sees the erva? Abai amar asa, Rava amar mutter. Lo nitna torla malachi asharis. Vose hilchasa, what's the halacha? Nogea asar, roa mutter. So the halacha is that ultimately what? If halacha lamaisa, the foot is touching the erva, that is problematic for Shema, but if the heel sees the erva, that ultimately again is fine. Rabbi Osei, so this idea, we're going to see this more in the fourth parak as well, this idea of libo roa esa erva, that there must be a distinction between your heart and the erva for kriya Shema and for tila purpose. Rabbi Osei, so this is by the chassidim, why they wear a gartel, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, even if you don't wear a gartel, there's a concept of wearing a belt, dafka wearing a belt during davening, because the belt ultimately acts as a way that a person makes a distinction between the heart and between the erva. Amar Rava, soa ba'ashashis mutar likros kriya Shema kenegda. Rabbi Osei, if you have waste, right, excrement, in an ashashis. Ashashis means, Rabbi Osei, like a glass utensil. So what's the halacha? Mutar likros kriya Shema kenegda. You could say kriya Shema. So Rabbi Osei, it's very interesting. Even though you can see the excrement, the halacha is you can still say kriya Shema there. Right? Erva ba'ashashis, Rabbi Osei, let's say a person sees erva through, right, someone else's nakedness. But let's say, again, there's a glass wall, right, in between me and the erva. What's the halacha? Us or the cross kriya Shema kenegda. You can't say kriya Shema under those circumstances. Why not? So ba'ashashis mutar likros kriya Shema kenegda. The tsoa bikisui talya milsa v'hamichse. So we'll say if the tsoa is in an ashashis, in a glass utensil. Rashi says over here, it's like a lantern, Rashi says. But you see, so that's okay. Why? Because the idea is that ultimately, again, soa just must be covered. Doesn't have to be obscured, it just has to be covered. And it's in a covering. However, erva ba'ashashas akar asa likros kriya Shema kenegda, v'lo yira'e b'cha erva stavar achmana v'ha kamischazia. Both say the erva is problematic. Why? Because by erva, what's the halacha? By erva, the halacha is that it should not be seen. And I both say, in this case, what's the problem? It can be seen. Therefore, the glass interposition, the glass utensil, does not help. Amar Abaye, tsoa kol shehu mevat labarok. We'll say if you have tsoa of any amount, ultimately, again, you can be mevat. So if you have a very small amount of excrement, you can be mevatlet ultimately, again, with saliva. The idea is you spit into it, and you can be mevatlet with the saliva. Amar Ava, uberok ava. That's only with like a thick phlegm. Amar Ava, tsoa beguma. What happens if there's excrement in a pit? Right? Pit means like a hole in the ground. What's the halacha? Manicho sandalo aleva kore kriya Shema. You could, or essentially, you cover the pit with your foot, and you could recite Shema like that. Boa mar bre dravina. What happens if there's excrement stuck on your shoe? The Rebbe said, this is all assuming that what? The excrement is there, but what? It doesn't smell. What's the halacha? Teiku. We'll say it's very interesting that for some reason this was an unsolvable situation. But okay, I don't know. We'll say, you understand? Just understand the tension. Tension is a lot of stuff gets stuck to the bottom of people's shoes. So the shaila becomes, how much are we makbid to stuff that's stuck on the bottom of your shoe? Okay, I'm going to Yehuda. We'll say quickly. Akum arum asr the cross kashra kinei. We'll say an unclothed Gentile, an unclothed akum. That is considered to be erva, and you can't say Kriyat Shema in his presence. Why do you Dafka bring up an akum, a Jew also? To which the Gemara says, "So pshitalei da'aser." So we'll say ultimately, again, it's obvious that you cannot recite Shema in the presence of an unclothed Jew. Ela akum estrichalei. We'll say, but I need the halacha to teach you that applies even to a non-Jew. Why? Ma'u detema hoyeluksib huasher baser chamorim b'saram. We'll say, because I would have thought like this. The pasuk in Yechezkel, when it refers to the akum, refers to the idolater, refers to them as having the flesh of donkeys. So therefore again, ema kachar ba'ama, maybe therefore their erva doesn't have the status of a regular erva. And also, just by the way, we've quoted that pasuk a lot. When the Navi compares the akum to donkeys, it's talking about the immorality of the idolaters. Apparently, donkeys in the animal world are especially immoral. So therefore, again, it compares the idolater to the donkeys. So I might have thought, therefore, again, that because his flesh is compared to the donkey, maybe his erva doesn't have the status of erva. Kamash mulan de'inhu nami ikru erva. Ultimately, again, therefore, again, no, the erva of an akum is considered to be an erva as well. D'chsiv, the ervas avihem lo ra'u, that they did not suppose to say, speaking about by Noach, they did not see the nakedness of their father. Noach, and so again, you see over here that even the akum, that even the erva of an akum is still considered to be an erva, therefore one cannot recite Shema in its presence. Otherwise, we'll have to stop over here. Shkoyach, stop, we'll pick up your Amir Hashem tomorrow.